corner of his eye, he saw a really posh, middle-aged lady. And he thought, yeah, passing thought, she's classy. But before long, he noticed that this lady was following him around the store. He went to the produce section to get his bananas. And there was this posh lady following him. He went to get his favorite cereal, Cocoa Puffs. And there, when he pulled the packet off of the shelf, behind, from the other aisle, looking on, was this lady just staring through the gap in the aisle. And he thought, this is really, really strange. I've got to do something. So he went. Out of all the places that you would go, where do you go to get rid of a stalker? He went to the man's section, the man's clothing section. And she was still following him. And so he went to the underwear section and started looking through the men's underwear. And by this point, he almost needed a new pair. And she was still there. And it finally got so much that this young lad, who was a lot like Tyler, politely said, "Excuse me, can I help you?" Just like Tyler Woods. And this lady said, I hope you don't mind. I know it's really, really strange, but you look so much like my son, and my son's been ill for a good 5 years now, and we used to do the shopping every week together. We would go, and we would do the shopping together, and I miss him being well so much. And I was just getting a bit carried away. And so this young lad, who was a lot like Tyler, really felt sorry for the lady and said, "Is there anything I can do for you? Is there anything else I can do for you?" And the lady said, "Yes, there is one thing. Maybe we can just finish our shopping together. And when we go to the checkout, when I go through the checkout, maybe you can wave at me and say, 'Goodbye, Mum. I'll see you at home soon.'" So this lad, who was a lot like Tyler, really, really polite, would do anything for anyone, said, "Yeah, I can do that." They did their shopping together. They came to the checkout. They went through the checkout together, and the lady looked back, and sure enough, this lad waved and said, "Goodbye, Mum. I'll see you soon." He looked back at the checkout officer, and he had a bill for £500, and he looked at the checkout assistant as if to say, "What in the world?" And she said, "Well, you know, your mum, who just went through, she said that she'd be willing to pay you back as soon as you get home. As soon as you get home." For us, when it comes to following other people, it can be the hardest thing in all the world, because people aren't always trustworthy. Even the best-looking people here, the middle-aged posh ladies, you can't trust them. Karen's the worst. Oh, sorry. That's completely not true. In John chapter 1, verse 43, this is what Jesus says. "The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip, and he said to him, 'Follow me. Follow me.'" And for every time that Jesus gives this invitation, people just seem to follow him. Andrew, Peter, James and John, Philip and Nathaniel. But it wasn't always the case. The Pharisees, the religious leaders, they didn't really want to follow Jesus because they felt like it should be the other way around. Jesus should be the one that was following them. Most of the Romans felt like it was very, very hard to follow Jesus because they knew that if they didn't follow Caesar, they were likely to not get paid or worse, to be put to death. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 21, there's a story of the rich young ruler. He struggles to follow Jesus because he doesn't want to go without the comfort and the satisfaction of having money. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 22, there's someone that turns away from following Jesus and instead goes to a funeral of their family member. So following Jesus is sometimes the hardest thing to do. But this morning, We're going to see an example of someone who is brave enough to follow Jesus, and that's Tyler. But I want to share with you this morning a number of reasons why we can choose to follow Jesus. Jesus says 22 times to follow him. It's actually the most times that he gives for an invitation. But it's not always easy. I want you to imagine that you go to Heathrow Airport, and you go to Heathrow Airport to drop family members off. We heard this morning in the children's story that we have some visiting family members from the States today. Just imagine what it's like to go and drop that person off at the airport. And there at the airport, you're going to head home, but you meet on the way out a man who's dressed in sandals. Weird, right? Whenever I used to go on holiday, I'm really picking on my dad, but he would wear socks with sandals. That's really not cool. But this man is wearing sandals without any socks, and he's wearing what looks like a bedsheet, and he's holding in his hand two tickets, and he comes up to you and says to you, "Follow me. I've got a free ticket for you. Follow me." I don't know about you, but the last thing that I would do is follow this man with sandals, wearing a bedsheet. But Jesus says, "Follow me," and it's not without reason. In John chapter 1, verse 45 to 49, this is how it reads. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, the one who was to come, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." "Nazareth," he said. "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him, he said of him, "Truly, here is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" And Jesus answered him, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." When I was dating my wife, we went on our first date, and I decided to take her to my hometown of Watford. But I also decided to take her to St. Albans as well, because it's a little bit nicer. So so we went to Cassiobury Park, and that was nice. And then we also went to St. Albans Abbey or Cathedral, however you want to call it. And we went to the pub at the bottom of the hill, you know, the old Fighting Cocks, and we had lunch in there. And she had a great time. We went to see the historical stuff as well. And afterwards, whenever I would introduce myself and people would say, "Where are you from?" I would always say, naturally, I'm from Watford. Well, I'm kind of from a village in between the two, but I picked Watford because that's my football team. And whenever I did that, Hilary would just look aghast, and she would be like, "Oh, why do you have to say that you're from Watford of all of the places? Say you're from St. Albans, that's a nice place. Watford, that's really a little bit dodgy." And so for us, in this particular account, Nathanael says, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" It's a little bit like someone who comes from Luton. Hope I'm not treading on any shoes this morning. But if you say you're from Luton, people are going to naturally think, "Well, hold on a minute." But what we discover about Jesus, and one of the reasons that we know that we can follow Jesus, is that he knows us deep down to the very core. He knows our dark bits. He knows the parts of our character that are broken. Nathanael is a bit prejudiced here. We might say he's a Nazi-phobe. He's really afraid of people that come from Nazareth, and maybe with good reason. Maybe something's happened to him before in his past. But Jesus doesn't condemn him when he sees him. In fact, he says to him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there's no deceit." This guy, he's not a liar. He's just going to say it like he sees it. He accepts him for all of his bad things, bad parts of his character, for everything, warts and all. And he asks him to follow him. In our experience, And in Tyler's walk of faith, there will come times when we just feel like we're not good enough. We feel like we're desperately wrong in some way. Like our lives aren't heading in the right direction. But at that stage, it's important for all of us to recognize that if Jesus does this for his disciples, it's something that he does for us too. Peter denied his Lord and he took him back. Jesus takes us back. Jesus sees us as we are, but knows the people that we will become. And he says, "You're mine. Follow me." When I was a teenager and I was just finishing up with school, I had never had a girlfriend up to this point. Believe it or believe it not, you're like, yeah, this guy so never had a girlfriend. It's quite obvious he never had a girlfriend. And my best friend at the time tried to help me out a little bit. And so he said, "Well, my cousin's actually coming over." And she's from the States, but she was visiting my brother in Switzerland. She's coming over. I can try and set you up with her if you like. Well, I always thought that my friend was a little bit funny looking. And so sadly, I said, "Well, you know, what happens if I get there to her door?" And I don't know. He said, "Well, you can always back out because you can always, you know, you just stand there at the door and you fake like you can't breathe. And you say, 'I'm having an asthma attack. I'm really, really sorry. I forgot my medication. I can't go out with you tonight.'" And so went to the door. Sure enough, she came out, and she was pretty. I didn't have any words to say to this lady, to this girl. And so I was just stood there looking a little bit silly. And then she started to go. I'm just kidding you. It's not really a true story. For us, there are times in our lives when we get rejected, and it can be the most painful thing in our lives. But there is one person who will never reject you, who will always take you back, who will take you back no matter what you've done, and that's Jesus. And so, Tyler, never forget it. Even if you feel bad on the inside, Jesus will always take you back, always take you back. And then my last and final point, I wonder if we can have a look at the last section here. Jesus says, "Did you believe me for this?" Nathanael realizes that he is the Son of God, the King of Israel, because Jesus tells him something about his experience that no one else would know. And so Jesus, he wants to follow Jesus because of that. But Jesus says to him, "You believe me because of that? You're going to see much greater things than this." And they did. Because Jesus fulfilled the role of Messiah that we find in the Old Testament. That might be a bit heavy, so I'll break it down. In Isaiah 42, and verse 1 to 9, it describes what the Messiah is going to be like. And in many Old Testament passages, it describes what the Messiah would do. In Isaiah 2, verse 4, and Micah 4, verse 3, it says that the Messiah would accomplish peace between the nations. That's a future that I want to live for. In Isaiah 11, verse 6 to 9, it says that he would achieve perfect harmony and abundance in nature. In Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3, 11:10, and 66, verse 23, there would be a universal acceptance of God. It says in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 13, and Ezekiel 37, verse 24, that he would conquer all of the bad things that happen to us in this life. And with Jesus at work, we see some of those things fulfilled and some of those things on the way. And that is a future that I'm passionate about. That is a future that I want to live for in my time. And that's a future that I hope that we all want to live for in our time too. That with God, he can accomplish peace between the nations. The most amazing thing about God is that with God, we never will have a negative ending to our lives. Jesus may be a hard act to follow, but Jesus is the very best person to trust with our future. When I was baptized, I was much older than Tyler. I was 21 years old when I came to baptism. And one of the reasons why I chose to be baptized, among other reasons, was because I wanted to follow Jesus, but it was also because of the people that surrounded me. And it was also because of my youth pastor. And many of you know Japhet de Oliveira. And for us who were growing up at Stanbrook Park Church at the time, he was an inspiration to us because we knew deep down that he cared for us individually. We felt that he loved us. We felt that he wanted the best for us. At that time, some of us, we liked Hillsong music. And for the rest of you, you might go, oh my goodness, that's really cheesy. But he actually fought for us to be able to play those hymns in church. He would do anything, even at risk to his own job, it seemed, at times. We would have movie nights and sleepovers. We would do all kinds of fun things. And because of the people in our lives, we wanted to be part of something. And we wanted to be part of something that we thought was really great. And for you, you have all been part of Tyler's journey. And Tyler has been part of yours. Tyler has been your inspiration. You have been his inspiration. And it's my hope and my prayer that that will continue in your lives to strengthen this church and to strengthen everything that's right with the world. There was one thing that my youth pastor couldn't always guarantee, though, and that was a happy ending. Whenever we had a crush on a girl, you know, and when it didn't work out, and he would say, you know, I was praying for you deeply and earnestly, I'm sorry it didn't work out. He would pray for us, but it wouldn't always be a happy ending. And for us, there are tough times in life. Tough times that even our pastor can't always help us with. But with Jesus, there is never a negative ending. And Jesus will come through in the end. And it's something at the darkest times in life we need to hold on to. Because with Jesus, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. In John chapter 8, verse 12, it says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And so it's my hope and my prayer that as Tyler is brave enough to step up and show his faith in God this morning, that for any of you who haven't made that decision, you'll be brave enough to follow Tyler, like I followed my youth pastor when I was a kid.